This coming Sunday will mark the one-year anniversary of the Rim Fire. And while we now know who ignited the flames that scarred part of the beauty of the Sierra Nevada, many questions still remain. Like, could more have been done to stop the fire sooner? And why did the fire grow so big so fast? In the second part of our series on the Rim Fire, FM 89 reporters Ezra David Romero and Deanna Aguilera talk with those on the front lines in search of the lessons learned.
3 weeks ago, Wesley Wills had a flashback.
We were driving down Big Oak Flat Road and just saw it blowing up again. You could see flame lengths of over 100 feet. It was really a tense moment.
He's talking about the El Portal fire that burned just miles from the Rim Fire burn area. Wills, an archaeologist and a firefighter for the National Park Service, pitched his tent at Drew Meadow, the same place where the Rim Fire base camp was set up.
How's it going, guys? Good, how you doing? Good.
Last year, the camp hosted 5,000 firefighters, and Will says it was like a makeshift city.
An angry man's cook is not better than a happy man.
I caught up with him at the end of the workday, just in time for dinner.
So last year, the Rim Fire, I've been around fires for a long time. I've been evacuated multiple times, and I'd never seen anything that large, so I was really worried about it.
But now this year, with fires like the El Portal and the French Fire that burned in the Sierra Nevada, people are wondering why the Rim Fire got so big, what lessons can be learned from the blaze, and whether the fire could have been handled differently or contained earlier.
I spoke with Chris Scow.
I was here the day the Rim Fire started and lived the entire thing.
He's the fire chief for the Stanislaus National Forest and the guy who was leading the Rim Fire containment effort. He remembers the first 3 days of the firefight as if they were yesterday.
One of the air attack platforms that was flying the Boyd fire picked up a smoke in the lower Clavey and flew over to it. We kind of knew immediately it was in a bad spot.
The ravine is steep and isolated. Weather conditions were historically dry, and the canyon is a dangerous place to send firefighters. Scow immediately began the effort to contain the fire, but was hesitant to send a hand team in early on because a firefighter died in the canyon during a blaze in the same area in 2004.
The most safe, most efficient way to fight a fire is to secure the anchor of it, work up the flanks, and pinch off the head. We just did that with the El Portal fire at about 5,000 acres.
But unlike the El Portal, the Rim Fire could not be contained early on. On day three, Scow ordered firefighting crews out of the canyon.
When the fire jumps a river and starts racing up the other side, the best you can do is pull the crews back, redeploy them to defend structures and communities.
The next day, the fire took a turn even further for the worse by doubling in size to over 90,000 acres. On day five, Scow knew the fire was out of control.
It was about 5 in the morning, and I got a text from the incident commander of the fire size. And when it went over 100,000 acres, I knew we were kind of getting into new territory here. This was going to be a long-duration marathon kind of firefight.
Scow called in reinforcements, and they came from as far as New Jersey. At this point, it seemed like the whole world knew about the Rim Fire. Sky News reports.
It has now burned almost 300 square miles of the rugged and wild Sierra Nevada mountains, one of the biggest and hottest they've ever seen.
The rest is history. But now, a year later, skeptics still aren't sure if the fire was handled with full force from the get-go. Filled with questions, Tuolumne County officials requested a congressional hearing into the fire and an independent investigation by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, apart from the Forest Service's original investigation.
We want people to be questioned under oath, and we want the truth.
That's Evan Royce, the chairman of the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors. The group originally wanted to know who caused the fire, questioned how the blaze was fought, and the way the forest was managed before the fire took place.
The ground attack at night, I think, was lacking. During the day, I think they had forces there, but because of the risks, they weren't really going in, which is understandable. But at night is when they should have been attacking it.
He's not the only one doubting. Randy Hanbell, also with the county, wants answers. One of the things he wants to know is why the gallons of retardant dropped by aircraft on the third day were dramatically less than on the second. A drop from about 65,000 gallons to 23,000.
We've sent letters to the Department of Agriculture and asked them what's going on. What happened? We had a whole list of questions. The answer we got back was not satisfactory, so we sent another letter, and we've not heard a response to that one.
But Chris Scow, the fire chief for Stanislaus, says the decrease in fire retardant on the third day was because resources were used for other fires raging at the same time. Scow says a network of fire personnel fought the blaze in the best way they knew how. As the fire grew unmanageable, they resorted to protecting lives and property. He also points out that no one died fighting the fire.
The people that I work with, both in the Forest Service and in CAL FIRE, they know their job. They know how to assess a fire. They know how to keep their people safe. They know how to attack these things in a way that keeps our communities safe.
A few months after the fire, the local paper, the Union Democrat, interviewed Jim Dunn. The retired CAL FIRE air tanker pilot told the paper that he and his partner helped in the firefight, but were grounded twice early on. This sparked controversy in the community, but left officials bewildered.
I don't think Jim ever meant to imply that there was ever a direction from the Forest Service or from CAL FIRE or anybody to stand down any aviation resources. If anybody knows, it's me. I was there the whole time, and nobody said we're not using CAL FIRE aircraft ever.
Despite the controversy behind how the fire was fought and the fact that the rim fire was ignited by hand, wildfire experts say blazes like this will no longer be a rarity. Kelly Martin is the Chief of Fire and Aviation Management at Yosemite National Park.
I do believe that in the future, we're going to see more smoky skies.
Martin says forests in the region historically burn every 10 years, but many parts haven't caught fire for 50 years or more.
There's just so much vegetation out there and lack of fire, lack of prescribed fire, lack of natural fire, that a lot of this vegetation, it's completely prime for fire to help it reset.
But until we get our forests in order, the possibility of seeing a column of smoke billowing in the distance is troublingly high.
With Valley Public Radio, I'm Ezra David Romero.
And I'm Diana Aguilera.